Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. We are beginning a new series that will lead us through the time of December as our attention is turned to kind of focus on the birth of our Savior. And I've entitled this series, A No Fear Christmas. No Fear Christmas. And that's because we're going to look at several places in the Bible and circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus and the people that were told to have no fear when they were approached by angels announcing something related to the birth of our Savior. So how many of you know fear can be a good thing or a bad thing? It can be crippling. It's usually a very powerful motivator. Fear is. The first time that fear is mentioned, this is just a side note you might be interested in. The first time that fear is mentioned in the Bible, anybody know? It's immediately after man sins in the garden. It's when in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, the God comes looking for Adam and he said, I hid myself because I was afraid. I was afraid. And so from that point in time, fear has been a part of living. Fear is a part of life. And I get the opportunity to meet many people who are afraid of dying. And some justifiably so, because they do not know the Lord's salvation. If you don't know the Lord's salvation, then you should be afraid of dying, because that's the end. But there are a lot of different fears, and maybe you have some. We know arachnophobia is the fear of spiders. Anybody afraid of spiders? Oh, come on. They're just little bugs. Claustrophobia, the fear of small spaces, closets. Small spaces. 70% of the people in our country said they had glossophobia. You know what glossophobia is? The fear of public speaking. As a matter of fact, when they polled those people, they said if they were having to give a eulogy at a funeral, they would rather be the one in the casket than the one giving the eulogy. So that's a real fear, I guess. But we're all scared of something. And of course, there are people who try to help us with our fears. I remember a story about the great Scottish preacher, John McNeill. He said that when he was a kid, he had to walk home from school through a forest with a large ravine. And there were reports of wild animals and gangs and of robbers that were often seen in the area. And great fear would seize him from time to time, especially when it started getting dark earlier. And one night, he says it was especially dark, and he was aware that something or someone was kind of close to him and moving slowly and quietly toward him. And he said, I was sure it was a robber. And a voice called out and he said, it scared me. And so he asked, who's there? And it was the voice of his father that said, John, is that you? And I think a lot of times all we need to hear to strike out our fears is the voice of our father. We just need to hear him say, I'm here. You're fine. I've got you. And a lot of times in our culture, especially at this time of the year where things get busy, the voices drown out the Father's voice. Can we hear him say to our hearts this morning, have no fear? Have no fear. So with this sermon series, you'll notice that each title is a question. And so this morning's question is, can I trust God in uncertain circumstances? Can I endure the circumstances that do not make any sense to me, that I can't see how it's going to turn out, that I don't understand what God is doing in the midst of it? Can I trust God in the midst of that? And hopefully you'll get with me this resounding yes from the scriptures of where the angel talks to Mary. So we're in Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And you ought to underline or circle that word virgin. That's going to be very important in our story here. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So can I trust God in uncertain times? Does my talk match my walk? When I say I'm able to trust God, boy, it's easy on Sunday morning sitting here in these nice, comfortable chairs. But when I'm really going through it, when I'm going through the uncertain times of life, can I trust God? Will my faith be able to walk? And sometimes our human wisdom fails us. Sometimes other people disappoint us. Sometimes even the circumstances that God allows to come to our lives just bring heartache and headache. How can I trust God in those moments? And it's in those moments that even well-meaning, well-intentioned individuals can offer useless advice. You ever had this? People in your life trying to help. Hannah and I were talking about this the other night. Just useless phrases that people say. You know, like, "Just breathe." "Thanks. I was doing that." Or when you hit your head on something, "Watch your head." That's useless piece of information now, right? I don't need that. And so some well-intentioned advice, but useless. Listen, what we need to hear is not the words of a culture that says, "Just breathe," or "Be all you can be," or "Dream it and God will make it happen for you." What we need to hear is the voice of our Father who says, "Do not be afraid, for with God, nothing is impossible." That's what I want to hear. I want to be encouraged from the scriptures, not just to breathe and keep on putting one step in front of another. I want to be encouraged from the scriptures to hear and understand and know that with my God, everything that He wants to happen is going to happen to me, and it all comes across His desk for His stamp of approval first. And He says, "Yep, this is good for Travis. It's good for my glory, and it's good for Travis." Can I trust God in the midst of that? So how do we do that? That's the challenge for us this morning. Number one, we need to trust God's providence. God's providence. Trust His provisions, what He is providing. Not long ago, I was listening to someone relate about a difficult time in their life, and they were facing some adversity, and the man said, "I thought I knew what faith was, but when this tragic circumstance hit his life," he said, "I learned something about myself. I didn't have faith, I had a plan." And the honesty of that statement struck me immediately. Because if we're honest, that's the way that most of us live our lives. We don't have faith. We have a plan. We have it all figured out. Most days, we don't live by faith. We live by our plans. That's what we do. We plan our lives and we attempt to follow the plan. And I've learned about myself that I get through too many days without faith, just relying on my plans. My faith really doesn't enter into it until my plans get interrupted. And then I'm in a mess. And then I'm crying out to God in faith, going, okay, God, I don't understand this. I didn't plan for this. This isn't the way I thought it would turn out. So what do I do now? And that's when my faith kicks in. But most of us, we just know what we're going to do tomorrow. We get up and we plan our lives accordingly. And a situation that maybe just perhaps I had no control over, the outcome is unknown, the relationships in my life are bound to be impacted, and maybe the financial security I thought was there is no longer there. Whatever the case may be, maybe the hope of a long life is cut short, or maybe the job I thought was secure isn't any longer, or the home that I've worked so hard for it now is gone. Whatever the circumstance it is, it's usually not until the seeming impossible possibility of the situation is known that our faith doesn't show up until we have nowhere else to turn. That's where Mary is in life. No doubt she had planned her life. No doubt she had dreams of a husband and a family. No doubt she's fascinated with the idea of being engaged and being betrothed to a good man. Joseph is a good man. We learn that in the scriptures. And now the angel shows up with some tremendous news, and it certainly didn't fit Mary's plan. She is a faithful God-fearer. Joseph is an upstanding man. And these two people are trying to follow God in their faith, yet the plan that they had in place is not what God wants for their lives. And now the challenge comes. Can I trust God? Can I trust God in this moment of uncertainty? And the question that Mary asked of Gabriel, it's a legitimate question. How can this be? I've done my part to remain pure and holy and consecrated. I'm following God to the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability. Do you know what this means for Mary socially? Do you know what this means to Mary financially if Joseph divorces her? She could even be stoned for infidelity. That's how far the law went. And in this moment of time, there's no such thing as liberal people fighting for the reproductive health of women, whatever that means. And thank God, because this unwanted, unwelcomed pregnancy, if there ever was one, this is it. Abortion is used to take away the consequence of an inconvenience pregnancy. Let us never forget that the womb is a sacred place and that Jesus could have been deemed unwanted as well. As a matter of fact, many would say that Jesus was unwanted, not just in the growing stages of his mother's womb, but throughout his whole life. As a matter of fact, they killed him. He was unwanted. But that's another sermon for another day. But here's Mary. And the point is, this does not fit Mary's plan. It's not how I had it planned out, God. Trusting the providence of God means that trusting that God can do what is best for me and that God will do what is best for me. Can I trust God when He allows things in my life to happen that bring uncertainty and fear and consternation and anxiety? Will I trust the God who made me, the God who saved me, the God who promised to preserve me and give me an inheritance that is beyond the expectations of this life? Will I trust God, or will I selfishly say, sorry, God, that's not in my plan? Let me hopefully help us this morning by giving us a working definition of providence. Here's what providence means to me. It's the care, the guardianship, the control exercised by God. In other words, it is the overruling watch care and the involvement of God in the lives of His people. And can I be honest with you? This is going to happen whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, because God is sovereign. But the faster we submit to God's plan, the more likely we are to understand what He's doing in our lives and how He can use us to bring Him glory. If you've ever heard my phone, when I get a text, I have created a ringtone from a line in the movie, "O Brother, Where Art Thou?" And I don't commend this movie to you, but there is one line that seems to fit a lot of the text that I get, the text messages that I receive. And the guy says, "That don't make no sense. That don't make no sense." Have you ever said that to God? I mean, you don't talk like I do, but that don't make no sense, God. It's not how I had it going down in my brain. That's when your faith is being called upon to trust God's care and guardianship and overruling involvement in your life. There's an outstanding illustration of this in a child's life. Perhaps you've seen it. It's the father calling out to a little child who may be standing on a table or an elevated porch, and he's saying, "Just jump, I'll catch you. Just go." Hannah would never trust me. I could not get her to jump. She'd look down. No, I can't. And some of us are like that with our faith. As long as it works out to the way I think it should, I'm okay. But the moment that there's uncertainty and I'm out of control, like I'm not in charge anymore, that's when I have a hard time going, "Okay, God, I'll jump." That's what God's calling Mary to do. And in the midst of it, He says, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. That's trusting God's overruling involvement in my life. The sooner I submit to that plan, the better off I am. The quicker we can surrender ourselves to trusting in His providential care, the more apt we are to enjoy the blessings of being used by God in supernatural ways. And that's where Mary is, of course. This is fear. What will I say to my mama? What will I say to my papa? I'm pregnant. What will I tell others? How will people look at me in the street or the market? What will they say about me? What is Joseph to think? I mean, all these questions of uncertain times. And yet God says, "Just jump. Just trust me." Uncertainty. But notice verse 38. This is the test of faith. And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." That's all she says. "I surrender." Do you know that's all God wants you to say? "I surrender, God. Man, I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm being treated this way. I don't know why I'm having to endure this. I don't know why I'm going through this. But let it be according to your will. Let it be according to your word." Can I trust that the God that I love and the God that I serve has what is best for me? When flights don't get me there on time, when people persecute me, when I have conflict and frustration in my life, some of you have buried children. Alex Hammond used to say, that's getting things out of order. That's hard. And that hurts. But can I trust Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, that He's given me exactly what I need when I need it? Can I trust the providence of God? It's not Mary's choice. Her pregnancy defies natural law. She absolutely knows this is from God. Can you trust the providence of God to perform even the impossible if that's what it calls for in the midst of uncertainty? There are people that have hurt me. There have been things that have happened to me that I didn't understand. There are things about my life that I wish were different. And I'm not just talking about my own dumb decisions. I've made plenty of those. But there are things that have happened beyond my control that I've been challenged with the opportunity to either trust God's providence or be miserable enduring. Because you're going to go through it. It's going to happen. When Gabriel appears to Mary, she's about 14, 15 years old. She's probably grown up dreaming of the same romantic dreams that girls have dreamed since the dawning of time. You know, writing Joseph's last name. None of you did that, right? Dreams of marriage, a home, and family. And she's asked to trust God in the midst of this. When our lives do not go as planned, it's easy to fear that which is unknown. What will you do in that moment? I was listening to a podcast, and I was trying to recall who it was. I think it was Allie Beth Stuckey. But someone had approached her and said, "You're happy now, but what about later? Suppose your health takes a dive. Suppose your husband and you lose your jobs. Suppose your home burns down." And I think it was Allie Beth. She said, "Stop supposing. Supposing runs you into a wall. Stop supposing and start trusting." Wow, that's good. Even for a girl from Texas, that's good. "The Lord is my shepherd," David said. "I shall not want." And you have to say that to yourself over and over and over again. I know, because I've been there. He's everything I need. And He's going to do everything He wants to do in my life for my good and His glory. And I'm either going to trust that or I'm going to be miserable enduring the circumstances. Can we trust that God is able and willing to do what is best for me? Even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't feel like it. Look again at verse 28. The angel says, "Rejoice, highly favored." Boy, how many of you would like to be highly favored in God's eyes? This is amazing. I can't say the word in the Greek language for this phrase, but it means to be poured out with blessings. The blessings just are overwhelming you. Can I be honest with you? I bet Mary doesn't feel real blessed. I mean, she's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And there's some excitement about that. But man, this is not a good time. She's blessed. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. Can I trust what the angel is saying is true? When I get the phone call, can I trust that God is blessing me with what's going to make me better? Secondly, trust God's plan. Trust God's plan. Look at verse 30. And the Bible says the angels said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." Do not be afraid. And the angel goes into the plan of God. How is this going to happen? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Now, if you were here Wednesday evening, you remember I pointed this out on Wednesday evening. This is not a natural occurrence in this day that the Holy Spirit just comes upon people. This is something unique. It's special. It would even take faith just to believe that part of God's plan. Much more faith would be required to understand and accept that God is going to put a person in my womb supernaturally that's going to be called the Son of God, and that He's going to save His people from their sins, and He's going to be the fulfillment. Don't miss this. He's going to be the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that God made with David way back when in 2 Samuel. when he said, your throne will last forever. The Jews knew that. They knew that prophecy. It was true about the Messiah. And now Mary is the one, this 15-year-old teenage girl is the one who the angel comes to and says, guess what? You got picked. Wonderful. Hallelujah. I bet she didn't say that. That's a lot of faith to believe that. The plan is so far removed from human possibility, and Mary's being asked to trust this plan. There are other plans that would probably make more sense to her. Why doesn't God just create a man and allow the Spirit to indwell the person? Or why doesn't God just accept the sacrifice of a lamb year after year? Mary might have thought, man, this has been working so far. What's wrong with that plan? Because they were offering sacrifices for their sins. Here's the issue with that. That plan doesn't require any spiritual growth from Mary. Oh, you're about to get your toes stepped on. Hang on tight, okay? God wants to grow you. And the way that he does that is he allows you to go through things that you wouldn't choose. He allows you to find out that he's all you have. You ever been there? He allows you to experience turmoil and valleys in your life to build you, to encourage you. This plan of impregnating a woman with incorruptible seed and allowing her to bear the reproach and the humiliation of bringing up a child into this world before marriage and having her raise this boy and train him to become a man, that is able to submit to the Father's will perfectly, and then watching him give his life on the cross for the sins of the world, and watching his body being broken and bruised, and watching the nails being driven in, and hearing the cries of anguish that will torment her soul night after night, that's going to grow Mary into who God wants Mary to be. Can you say yes to that plan? That hurts, God. She's highly favored by God. She's blessed. You ever hear these bumper stickers, too blessed to be stressed? That's baloney. When the blessings of God hit your life, sometimes they don't feel like blessings. She's highly favored. And here's the lesson for us in today's times. We could all stand some spiritual growth in our lives, couldn't we? Are you as close to God as you want to be? Then buckle up, because here it comes. We all could stand to grow closer to God, to depend upon Him more, to grow in our understanding of His ways and His desires. That's true. And it is when we trust the plan of God that we're able to do that. It's when we rely on His plan. Rarely do we grow in our faith when everything good is happening. It can happen. You can be thankful. It does happen, but it rarely happens. Most of the time, it's when you failed. It's when your plans didn't come to fruition. It's the time when the impossible has to happen. It's the moments that you can't figure out. That's most of the time that when you're challenged to grow and God stretches you spiritually. If you ever get the opportunity to hear Laura's story talk about how she wrote the song called Blessings, it's a good listen. In this song, this is what she writes. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? See, we've got too many preachers that are preaching prosperity and good and wealth and health and all that kind of stuff. What if the blessings of God really are you being broken to the point of complete and total dependence upon Him? Will you trust that plan? And she wrote this song when her husband was dealing with what they thought was going to be a terminal brain cancer. And she talks about having to trust God's plan, even when it looks like all hope is lost, and it would take the impossible to make God's plan to come to fruition. Think about what Mary's being challenged to believe. Go with her into that intimate part of her life and realize that she has kept herself pure all this time because it's what God wants. She believes that. And now, I mean, it would have been easier to believe that she drank a glass of water and got pregnant, rather than the Holy Spirit planting this seed inside of her. This is a hard plan to accept. It's impossible, but it's God's plan. Can I trust God when the circumstances seem impossible? Now, without getting too Stephen Furtick on you this morning, without getting too charismatic, here's the question I want to ask. Am I going to trust God when it seems impossible for whatever needs to happen to happen? When I think it is impossible to forgive someone who has wronged me. You ever been hurt like that? That deep? When I think it is impossible to even contemplate the thought of burying one of my kids. Can I trust God? When I believe it is impossible to lay that habit down or to respond in love towards that brother-in-law, or worse, what if God is calling me to extend grace to someone whom I despise? Can I trust God with the impossible? And the answer to that question will lead us to our third and final point this morning. Trust the providence of God. God is always going to do what is good and right. Trust God's plan, even when it seems impossible, because like Mary, we can, thirdly, trust God's power. Now, this is where the story gets good. I've been giving you the downer information. Look at verse 37. This is where the story gets good. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Did you hear those words? With God, nothing is impossible. When I read this verse, I know this is kind of the common theme that runs through the Bible. This verse is all over the place in the Scriptures. This principle is all over the place. It's filled with things that are impossible, situations that are impossible, and God does something miraculous and overcomes the impossibility. But my mind goes back, I think it's to the first time that this idea or this principle is presented in Scriptures. It's in Genesis 18. And there's this woman named Sarah. And don't let this be a Sunday school moment for you this morning. You know, when you're in Sunday school, you hear about Jonah and the whale and Daniel and the lion's den and all that. You think God's just like Batman saving people all the time. Yeah, he does that. But don't let this be just another Sunday school response moment. In Genesis 18, Sarah is 88 years old. That's almost as old as Jerry. I pick on Jerry every week. It's just there. That's old. And she's told that she's going to have a child. She's 88. Physically things don't work that way, you know. There's that change that women go through that makes them evil for a moment and then they turn good after the end of that. My wife went through that earlier. She's not here. I talk about her. She went through that earlier because of circumstances beyond our control. But I know what that's like. I've never seen my wife more violent. God, that's not how things work. 88 years old. You're going to, this don't make no sense. You're going to have a kid. What does she do? She laughs. She laughs. Have you ever laughed at God? Not a good move. And then the angel, I believe it's Christ, says, why is she laughing? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything impossible for God? Like I said a few weeks ago, if you can get past Genesis 1:1, then everything is laid open before God. I can believe anything if I can believe Genesis 1:1. That he made everything from nothing, he spoke it into existence, then nothing is impossible for my God. And if he says it's going to happen, guess what? I can bank on that. I can trust him because he is powerful enough to make it happen. He's not waiting on me to respond. He's not waiting on my ability or my performance. He can do it apart from me. I've never known a man. How can this be? Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. And through this, God is going to deliver all mankind. Now, if God commands me to forgive someone 70 times 7, guess what? I can do that. It seems impossible in my mind. They've hurt me too many times. They've hurt me too deeply. It's impossible. I can do that because God's told me to. If God tells me to let the word of God dwell within me richly and that whatever I do is to be done for his glory, then I can do that. If God tells me to love my wife as Christ has loved the church, I can do that. If God tells me to submit to my husband, I can do that. If God tells me to pray for the ones in power and authority over me, even when I don't like their politics, I can do that. If God tells me to love my neighbor, you don't know who I live next to. Man, that guy's hard to love. I'm not talking about anybody. I would never do that. There are people live in my back door. They're hard to love. I'm not talking about anybody. Can we love people who are unlovable? Yeah, because God told us to. And with him, all things are possible. I think that this phrase becomes so overused that it's kind of just there and we don't believe it. And this is not Todd White's parlor trick of growing a leg that's shorter than the other. This is not that. This is about the simple stuff in life that seems impossible. It's about loving my kids the way I'm supposed to. It's about trusting God with my finances. It's about trusting God with my relationships. Let's make it even easier. It's about committing some time every day to spend in His Word. Well, I just don't have the time. No. With God, all things are possible. Make the time. Can I trust God in uncertain times, with uncertain circumstances, with unstable people? Hey, how many of you got some unstable people in your life? How many of you are unstable people? That's all of us. We all have some level of instability in our lives. Instability, that's a better word. Just, if you don't believe that, walk the Las Vegas Boulevard. You'll see unstable people. You will come in contact. And it's easy to look at this guy. We saw a guy last week sprawled out on the sidewalk. Homeless guy, obviously. Well, he appears to be homeless. Had his head propped up on a case of beer, though. But he looked like he'd been crying. One shoe's off. His sweatpants are barely hanging on to him. I mean, just disheveled. Laying there. On the sidewalk. And it's easy for us to go by and go, ah, thank God I'm not like him. My life is together. It's easy for us to look at that guy in self-righteousness and go, I'm thankful that's not my life. It's hard to say, but for the grace of God. But for the providence of God. But for the plan of God. But for the power of God. I'd be there laying right next to him. And I'm glad that my kids got to see that. It's a better lesson than they could ever learn in school. That's when I don't surrender my life to the providence and the plan and the power of God. I'm running the risk of having just as empty of a life as the guy in Las Vegas sprawled out on the sidewalk. Or just the same, some person with a great job and every luxury that this life could afford, but filled with emptiness because the idol of pride has overruled him. There's a passage that we know in Proverbs chapter 3. And I'll close with this. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart, with most of your time. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust. Did you hear that? Trust. In the Hebrew language, it's baha. It literally means find your security here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. What if it doesn't make sense, though? What if you're a 15-year-old girl in a culture that could have you stoned for infidelity? Can you trust God in uncertain times with no fear? Well, it's challenging. These messages, I tell you, I don't like to preach these messages because what's coming? What's going to happen? Can I trust God even though I don't know? That's the challenge. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is with great humility that I bring this message to these people today. Under your leadership, under your guidance, trusting you with everything. Leaning not on my own understanding, but hopefully acknowledging you. And help us all to do that. Help us to trust you in uncertain times, with uncertain circumstances. We don't have to know what the future holds. We just need to know who holds the future. And sometimes, just like that Scottish preacher as a boy wandering through the woods, sometimes we just need to hear your voice. Help us to be responsive to that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.